is Ken Elwell. I live in God's country. It doesn't get hot and humid like this. The Pacific Northwest. I worship most of the time in Chilliwack, B.C., and also in Portland, Oregon. Very thankful to be here tonight, Monarch Meeting. And I would request a special interest in your prayer tonight. I want the Lord to help us. And someone mentioned in this meeting about the power of the Spirit to lay... Power of the Spirit to lay things bare. I've experienced that in my life where the Lord comes along and He begins to deal with us, reveals things to us that we otherwise wouldn't consider, shows us where we are. And I'm thankful that any time the Lord does that, He brings an inspiration of hope. He encourages us when He shows us ourselves. My personality is one that's usually a little bit down, I guess. You wouldn't know that just from maybe how I act in public. But it's easy for me to get down under myself and to question myself and overthink sometimes. And I just appreciate how the Lord encourages us when He deals with our heart. Brings us along and gives us the inspiration that we can change, that He has the grace and the help for us to be what He wants us to be. And I'm thankful that the plan of salvation and what God has designed for our life and where He wants to dwell is not something that is above or beyond the grace of God to be able to accomplish that in our life. And I have seen people from many different walks of life and many different experiences still be able to testify to the goodness and the grace of God to keep them regardless of where they've come from, what they've experienced, what nature they have to deal with, that the Lord is able to be faithful to each and every one of us. Mention not a pit deep enough. The enemy a lot of times will paint a picture that we can't have what other people can have. That because of what life has handed us or what we've been through, that we must live in a state of less than. And I want to encourage you tonight that the Lord has a full portion for each and every one of us. That He thought of you individually, specifically. When He established the plan of salvation and His desire to live and to dwell with us, that He thought of each one of us individually. His intention and His desire is to live with us and to give us the very best things of this life. I have learned over these past years about living this life of faith, that this way of life and living for God is a way of faith. It is not to be handled or controlled by our own devices, our own capabilities, our own capacity. We sometimes can think that we have on hand what is necessary, what is needful to meet the demand, but it's not enough. It never is. And the sooner we learn to rely on the Lord and to put our trust and our faith in Him in every aspect of our life, we will find the joy and contentment of living with the Lord. I want to ask you tonight, where do you live? And I would have you just consider for a moment, there's obviously way too many people in here to actually describe for us where you live, but think about it for a moment. Think about your house, your home, your dwelling. It might be messy, it might be clean, might need paint, might not, might be new, might be old, but I want you to consider it for a moment. And in your own mind, think about where it is you lay your head on your pillow at night and all of the things that are around there that have become your home. I like to go to camp meeting, but I like to go home the most. Get back to where things are comfortable, what I'm used to. And my things are around me. We have a fifth wheel here on RV, and that gets close. I'm all about the RV lifestyle. You can take your home with you, so to speak, but it's still nothing like being home in your own bed with your own comforts. I want you to consider that for a moment, but then I'd like to turn your mind to where do you really live? To think about and allow the Lord to work in our heart as to where we really make our abode. What do we live with? We recently have started moving from a location that we've lived at for 15 years. And it's amazing how much stuff you can accumulate and become just used to around you over a long period of time. And there are things that you begin to live with that if you had first moved into that location, you would never have accepted that. It changes, things decay, things start to break or to wear down, and you just learn to live with it. And if you were going to move into a new location, you'd paint and you'd make sure the shower curtain's not falling down and you'd make sure everything is in good shape before you start living there. And I want to encourage us tonight that the Lord doesn't want us to get so comfortable that He's not able to help us rebuild and to change some of the places where we live. We don't want to get so comfortable that it's just, well, this is the way I am. This is where I live. This is my personality. This is how my companion is. This is how my relationships are. And this is just what it is. This is just where I'm going to live and die in this place as it is. The Lord has something for us to be able to replenish and renew, to help us to grow and to give us the grace to come to the place where He wants us to be in our dwelling with Him. I thought about inviting someone to where I live. And anytime you have company, you do a lot of cleanup, usually if you have time. Want to give the best impression and want to have things arranged in such a way that they'll think well of you and to be comfortable also. I thought about this life and living with the Lord. I don't want to get to the place where I don't consider who I'm living with, where I'm at. You know, sometimes we think, well, if the Lord came by, what would we do? What would we do? But I want to live in a place where this is where the Lord dwells. That I am making the effort and I'm striving for to live in the very best place where the Lord dwells. I want to be in that place. A lot of it is up to us. I think about how hard we try to live for the Lord and the determinations that we make. But I'm especially thankful that it is the Lord that is often holding on to us. And our abode and our place of dwelling is not so much about my capability to change everything as much as it is to lean on to the Lord and allow Him to change where we live. I can clean up. I can make things look a certain way for a period of time. I can maybe clean up the few hours before you come, but if you come unannounced in the middle of the week, you'll see how I really live. And the Lord is able to give us a dwelling place where those things are in order and in the proper place day in and day out. That's what I want. We heard some in this meeting about the Lord preparing a place for us, and I have to tell you that I want to go to heaven and I want to go tonight. I would be glad to leave right now. One of my favorite songs is, Lord, I am waiting, I am longing for the summons to come. I want to go to heaven. It's where my heart is. And the heaviness that I feel in this life never completely goes away. I live in the joy of the Lord, but the burdens of this life are always there. I'm looking forward to heaven to lay all of that down. Number 44 has become one of my favorite songs also. I want to see Him. That's all I care about. I want to live and to dwell for eternity in the presence of the Lord. And this is our goal and our determination. But I want to tell you tonight that there is a place of dwelling on this earth where God dwells with us and we with Him, and it is our habitation. We don't have to wait for heaven or for circumstances, or even you could say heaven on earth, for things to be in perfect shape in order to experience dwelling with God. He has delivered that to us now. And when we get to heaven, it is not going to be, I like to think about it, all the different senses we might have. We have, what, 5, 6 now? I think maybe we'll have 20 or 30. I don't know. How we'll perceive, my body can't even take in sometimes the emotions of what I feel for what the Lord has done for me. And I look forward to being out of the flesh and dwelling in the Spirit entirely. But there is still a place that He has made for us in this veil, in this flesh, in this life with its limitations, where we are able to dwell in the very presence of God day in and day out. And this is not something that is above that we can have or what we can achieve, but it is the true essence of what Jesus intended. I think about those that are living in bondage and living in sin. In the Northwest, especially, and on the West Coast, you don't see it as much as here, but we have a real problem with homelessness. Or that now they say houselessness. That's the politically correct way to say it. And it hurts my heart, and you feel pity and compassion to drive down the road and to see a lot of mess and a lot of trash. And you think about on a cold night or on a hot day, where are they? How are they living in that environment? They don't have shelter. They deal with the elements of life on their face consistently. They find tarps and tents, but it's temporary. And our heart hurts for that. And we can go to our nice home or our nice structure, but often our hearts are still with those that are in a homeless place. And I think about those that live in the bondage of sin, in a place where they dwell in their flesh and they cannot escape from that place. And I want to tell you tonight that if you're in a place that you feel you cannot escape, that you have to live, that you don't have a home in essence to dwell in, where you are subject to the whims of the flesh and of the enemy, and he can do whatever he wants, there's a deliverance and a place that God has for you tonight to dwell with him. That his desire and his heart, just we feel that same pity and compassion when we see people in that condition. And you know, the Lord's heart is towards those that do not dwell with him in that same way, wanting to call them in and to bring us to a place where we live with him and enjoy all the benefits of Father's house. Warm when it's cold outside, cool when it's hot outside, plenty to eat, plenty to drink, and our every need and our every aspect of our life is met and administered by the King and by the Father. This is his desire tonight. And if the enemy has you in a place where you do not feel the presence of the Lord, he has a calling for you to be able to come and to live with him every single day of your life. That you can say, I am home. This is where I live. This is where I deal with all the things that life has and all the things that I've been through and the traumas that I've experienced and all the hurts and just everything that life has. The Lord has a place of dwelling for us where we can live with him every single day. And when it hurts, he brings a balm. And when we feel bitterness, he brings a relief. And when we feel heartache, he's the one that brings that place of relief where we can rest and give those things to the Lord. That's part of what it means to dwell with God and be able to be in his presence every single day of our life. It's his intention and his desire tonight. Oh, I would encourage you, oh Lord, I would pray that he would inspire your heart that there is a relief and a way for you to escape living in a homeless state tonight. The Lord is calling you, saying, come live with me. Come, I'll dwell with you. There is great benefit, and not just in heaven, but in this life. And you can look at the future and we can say, well, things are only going to get worse and all of the different aspects that we can think of. And I can only imagine living in a place of homelessness, of how you might have fear and doubt. And you think about the seasons that would come and just the despair that comes with that. The Lord intends to give us a place to live with him where we can enjoy the safety and refuge that they sing about through every season of life. Every affliction, every hardship. I want to read a scripture here in 2 Timothy and in the third chapter. Christianity at large has done a great disservice to the plan of salvation. I'll call it secular Christianity, or people that preach and they preach such a salvation that doesn't actually bring a change in your life. Where you must still live where you've always lived, you just say, I'm forgiven. God intends more for that. He doesn't come to us where we're homeless and say, well, yeah, I'm sorry you're homeless and there's forgiveness and relief, but you got to stay there. Keep living in that. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This description is no different than living in the world and living in the flesh. It says, but they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Don't let the enemy trick you tonight that you must continue to live in the state that you've always lived. The Lord has more for us than that. He has a place for us to dwell that is established by Him, where He is King and He reigns. His power reigns. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That hurts my heart. It aches. That people would have some knowledge and have some idea, but then get carried away in a deceit, carried away in a derision, or carried away where they cannot see or understand what God really desires to deliver to His children. Don't let the enemy steal what God has intended for you. Sometimes we see examples and we're discouraged maybe by someone who says that they have a relationship with God. And maybe how they appear to how they live to everyone else is one way, but we know where they really live. And that does such damage to us if we experience that, because then we begin to think that's all there is. And we discount. And we think, well, it's just you go to church and you look nice on the outside and you it looks like you have a nice house, but the vision I had in my head was everything looks nice, but if you go inside, there's no dwelling there. There's no bed. There's no comfortable mattress. There's no one of the favorite food in the fridge. You don't actually live there. The Lord is able to deliver to us a true experience of dwelling with Him. Others may have missed it. They may have not committed themselves. There could be a multitude of reasons. But the Lord for you tonight is saying, I have a place for you to dwell with me, where I will give you the richest blessings of salvation. I'll give you power over your flesh. I'll meet every need that you have. I'll be your best friend. I'll walk with you. We'll have a relationship together that is true and that is real. That when you raise your hand in testimony, it's not because of what anyone thinks that I have, but it's just because of what's in my heart. And I don't care if anyone sees my hand raised, because I'm praising God because of what He's done in my life for me. And you may not have it, and I'm sorry, but He's done it for me. The Lord has that for you tonight. Those of us that have been raised in a Christian home, I want to encourage you tonight, whatever age you are, to not take for granted the blessing of living in a dwelling place where God abides. It is a special privilege that some of us have had to be raised in a home and in a dwelling place where God exists, where He is honored, where he is lifted up, where there is true devotion and worship. I think of the prodigal son. He came to a place where he didn't respect and appreciate all that was in Father's house. Wanted to take what was his and to go out. And sometimes it takes that. In my own life, I think of my father. He got saved again when I was just 1 or 2 years old. And so all of my life, I lived with a saved family. And that's a big blessing that the Lord, that I was able to experience and have in my life because of their faithfulness to God. But there was a time when he wasn't like that. And when I hear stories of when he lived in sin, it's hard for me to comprehend him like that. Smoking multiple packs of cigarettes a day, lighting one off the other. Putting the cover over his head and listening to music that was sad and sorrowful while his children were in the house. I don't know those days. But I know the change in the life of someone that began to dwell with God and made a change in his life for his family, and I got the benefit of that. Amen. Cherish it. Yeah. Honor it. You may not understand everything. You may not know why mom and dad live the way that they do, why they do everything with the intention that God would have preeminence, that we would please him with our life, that our home is specifically and our way of life is specifically built to honor God, to dwell in his presence. That's what I think all we'd raise. That's what we want in our homes. It's for our children to learn who God is and to have a relationship with him like we have. That's the most important thing I want to pass on to my children, is this is what it means to live with the Lord. And if you are if you live in a place, see if you, I know people, close relationships with people that didn't have that benefit. Come over on the weekend to enjoy it for a Saturday and Sunday, but then had to go back and live where there wasn't that blessing. And I can tell you their heart aches for that security and that place where God reigns. Young parents, as you make decisions about where you're going to dwell, think about, where are my children going to live? I want them to know what it means to dwell in the presence of God. The world is outside, they can do it, but in this place, you decide that tonight. You're the one that makes that decision. How you order your life and the decisions you make are going to determine whether your children get that benefit or not. I want to read in Jeremiah in the 17th chapter. In the 5th verse. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Do you know it's human nature for us to lean to our own understanding, to rely on our own capability, our own capacity, our own resources? In one place, God told them, I put before you this day a blessing and a curse. And if you'll follow after me and keep my commandments, there's a blessing on your life. I'll be your God and you'll be my people. But there is also a curse of not living in the presence of God. I'll give you a testimony. Growing up, I saw a life of faith live before me. And as a young person, it really bothered me. Why would you give the little that you have to other people when you don't have enough for yourself? Drove me crazy. And I grew up thinking, I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to make sure that I don't have to not be sure about how things are going to work out. But I have found that experience by experience, the Lord just continues to strip away our own capability and says, trust me. If you want to dwell in the presence of the Lord, you're going to have to learn to not lean on the arm of man, on the arm of our flesh. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but it shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Desert is beautiful to me. I drive through it in my air-conditioned car, and it's beautiful. I love the colors and the rocks and the formations, but I can't dwell there. There's no life there. There's no water. The cactus that exists are specifically made to dwell in that environment. I wasn't made for that. Neither were you. Can't see when the good comes. Dwelling in that dreadful and barren place. Oh, tonight, if that's where you're living, God wants to replant you somewhere. He can change the desert. He can change the biome in your life. Your habitat. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green. Shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Remember one time I was crossing the desert and it was 115 or 118 degrees and I had some water with me and I thought I better not drink it all. What if something happens to the car? I was thinking, hey, I could end up out here on Zizek's Road out there in the middle of Baker Desert with no resources. I could die out here. Better keep some water handy. Not careful in drought. The Lord I know is my resource. I live with Him. He has all that I need. So in my time of giving, in my time of faith, in my time of putting out, I know I can give what the Lord's given me because He's going to restore and replenish because I live where He is. We'd all testify there's no limit to what He has available to us. So if that's our dwelling place, there's no limit to us either. He feeds and supplies, and the whole purpose is not just for us to get fat and happy, but it's to minister and to yield fruit to those that are around us. Are you satisfied tonight? I could ask you that about your temporal house. Do you like where you live? You satisfied or you want to live somewhere else? I'm sure all of us, you get on Zillow sometimes and look at the different homes that some people live in. Looks pretty cool, some of those places. Are you satisfied with where you're dwelling? We sing the song, I am drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide. For I have tasted life's pure river and my soul is satisfied. Ministered and met, I don't want to live anywhere else. This is my forever home. And I want to go to heaven, but it's just, I think it's just going to be a transition. We heard some about John and in the 14th chapter, and I want to read that again. And I appreciate the truth of the place in heaven that the Lord has prepared for us. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. I'm so thankful tonight that the Lord has come to receive us to Himself. That He has made a place for us to dwell with Him in this life where we can enjoy the presence of the Lord. Every thought, every temptation, every affliction, every attitude, every experience brought into subjection of the presence of the Lord. We think sometimes, well, if Jesus was here, then things would be different. But he went to prepare a place, and he went and he established a place for us to dwell with him in this life, where we could experience the presence of the Lord right now. And this life of faith is based on that. Oh, Thomas, he wouldn't understand. He had to put his hand in the side of Jesus. And Jesus said, blessed are those that have not seen yet believe. Oh, tonight, let your heart take in faith that the Lord is able to give you an experience of dwelling with him, where you can conquer the things in your life. Oh, I think of the Savior's heart. The pity and compassion we feel for situations. And I think of the Savior standing at the right hand of God, already established for us in our life and what you've experienced, something for you to relieve, to minister to. And some people don't see it. Shout it on the mountaintop. I'm going to read Psalms in the 91st chapter. I feel like the Lord inspired this to my heart in this message. This passage of Scripture to me is especially special. I feel like it goes beyond just normal life. Some of us have experienced trauma in this life. Some of us have experienced abuse. And things that affect us. And when I think about dwelling, there is our body dwells in one place and our spirit can dwell in another. Paul was in prison in his body, but his spirit was not in prison. Things can affect my body, but the Lord is able to take our spirit to another place. And when I read this passage, I think of that. Because I see the care and the refuge and the provision of an almighty God over often someone who is helpless. We cannot always change the environment that we're in. Some of us are in relationships that the Lord has called us to be in. And he has grace for us. In those places. I grew up listening about Brother Trimble. Had to let the cats drink the milk from his bowl at the dinner table. I can't imagine that. Dwelling in the physical in one, but my spirit is somewhere else. The Lord is able to bring us and minister to us in spite a lot of times of our circumstances. I don't have to dwell in the perfect abode physically in order to dwell in the presence of God. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Like the hen covering its eggs, protecting that which can't protect itself. Do you see, I cannot defend this dwelling place. My decision is to keep myself where the Lord wants me, and then my refuge is in him. I can't lean to my own ability. I need his spirit. I need his grace. I'm defenseless in my own strength. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. I can't control other people. My heart aches for people that have experienced things in this life. People make choices and we're affected by those. But the Lord has a place by Him for us to dwell, where He protects and He takes care of us, draws us close. I'm asking where you live tonight, because I don't care what everyone thinks. You know where you live, where your heart is, the afflictions of your spirit. And I want you to know that the Lord has a place with Him to minister to those. He gives forgiveness where there would be bitterness. He gives us softness where we would be hard. He gives us grace to be able to withstand all that the enemy would fire at us because of those things. 1,000 on one side, 10,000, everyone else might perish, but the Lord is going to care for you. Made Him my habitation and my refuge. There is no other. There is no other place where you can dwell and escape the effects of the things of this life. We've said it before that all that this world has to offer that is an escape brings a penalty with it. If it's alcohol, if it's drugs, if it's pursuit, it always brings a penalty. But in the presence of the Lord, we are lifted up, and it's always pure, it's always right. It fulfills and it inspires and it completes. This is the presence that the Lord has for us. Dwelling with Him in my habitation. This is where I live. If you see me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever's happened, this is where my habitation is. The storm rises. The memories come. Wake up from a dream that I can't control. My refuge is in the Lord. It's where I dwell with Him. Lord, protect me. Raise a defense. And the Lord will do it time and time again. And our relationship with the Lord is built on this kind of experience. You know, relationships are built. Your dwelling place is really built. Where you live is something that has happened over time. How you sleep, what's around you, is what you've accumulated and how you've responded to life. Bitterness, the way people are when you meet them, they didn't just become that way in a moment. Who they are as a person has been developed over time and through experience. And it's the same with our relationship with the Lord. It becomes developed, it grows, it matures. One place it says it perfects, establishes, and strengthens us like a building that becomes secure. Because the Lord's been faithful time and time again. And I can point to where He has held me, cared. Others have perished, but He, in His presence, was my refuge. It's good for us to have protections for ourselves. And the Lord brings convictions and inspirations for us to create protection for ourselves. And it's a good thing. But our real refuge, our real safety is in the Lord. I cannot build things straight enough for myself to keep me from all that the enemy has, from all of his traps, from all the pestilence, from all the things that exist. I need to be in the presence of the Lord. I want to read Hebrews in the 10th chapter. In the 16th verse. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them. I thank God that the only place of dwelling and experiences in the presence of God is not just at Monarch. It's not just around a group of people. It's not just when the songs are sung, but this is something that happens in our heart where He comes, and it's not on tables of stone anymore, but His presence fills us and He begins to write and instruct and teach us. And as we obey that and follow that, there is a blessing that comes in our life. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way. Praise God, it's a living way. This is something that is alive and well in our heart and in our spirit that we experience day in and day out in spite of all that is in this world. It is not something that is dead. It is not something that just we go to some refuge and then we have to go out again. But it's a new and a living way that lives with us. We live in it. It's a way of life. It's a way that we conduct and where we experience all that exists in this world. Living and breathing. A living God. Fire will fall from heaven in your life. It'll consume sacrifices. You'll have moments where you say, it is the Lord. I love that when they caught the fish and they realized, it is the Lord. New and living way. But you don't achieve, you don't see those times unless you put yourself in your faith and your trust in the Lord. Which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true hearts and full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Above all, hold to your faith. Faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Faith that He will meet and administer the blessing that He promised He would. I talked about this at home that I have discovered in traveling around the world and being in Asia and different places. People believe in something everywhere. In fact, I believe, and this is my own inspiration, that I think when people come to a place of suicide, it's often where they've lost faith in everything. People believe in something. Their own ability, humanity, humanism, Muhammad, different gods. Always been that we are made to believe. But we have to believe on the Son entering in. He has made a way for us to live in the very, in the holiest of holies, in the very presence of God. The veil in the temple was rent in twain. Don't let the devil sell you short. God is saying, I paid the perfect price. Come and live with me. Let's make our abode together. Psalms in the 84th chapter. And I'll sit down. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in the house. They will still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them, a Zion, appeareth before God. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer and give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. We heard the testimony, you don't have to live deep in sin to appreciate and experience living in the courts of God, living in His presence. Whether you stayed in Father's house or you went to the pig pen, both ways we learn to understand. This world has nothing to offer us. It has no dwelling place. It's dry and desert. It's heartache and brokenness. There's an old song we used to listen to. It says, today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be. Oh, tonight, if you want to be a different man, the Lord is able to change your life. He's able to set a habitation with Him. You can treat your children like you should. You can forgive. Not the man that I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't come here anymore. Not where I dwell any longer. Then we went back to the house where we used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind the door. And I said, son, oh little boy, don't be afraid, because you got a brand new daddy now. True. Not lies, not the deceits of this world, but a true change, a new and a living way. We sing that song also, I'm dwelling on the mountain where the sunlight gleams. In the second verse, or one of those verses, it says, I can see far down the mountain, broken vows and disappointments. It's something to dwell in the presence of God and to look back and to remember. It's good for us to remember. The psalmist said, I remember where I came from. I need to remember. And I want to guard this habitation because I don't want to live there anymore. I don't want to go back. Lord, I want to stay in your presence, whatever that takes. Oh, tonight, if your habitation, if your dwelling place is in the desert, doesn't matter what people think, come and live. Come and habitate. Come and dwell in the presence of God. Pray for me.